Peace be with you all. Welcome to episode 4 of Positivity Spartans, Realizing Your Potential. The reason for the title is because we want y'all to really look at yourself after this episode and realize that you are capable of amazing things. There's greatness within you, and we're going to unlock your potential. No matter what you're going through, you can overcome and outperform the situation. So let's get it. You know what I mean? Today I got my boy Tron with me. He back again. What up? Say what up to the people, Tron.
Good, people.
What up?
Glad to be back. Ready to deliver, you know, as much knowledge, help and support as I can. And I hope we can all, you know, continue to help and learn and grow from one another, you know, because it's that energy alone, you know, feeding off each other that allows us to be able to help build up one another. So I look forward to contributing.
Most definitely. And you know it. You know my man Nick in the building. What's good with you, Brody?
What's up, fam? What's good, Tron? I gotta say, man, it's nice to finally chat with you, bro, because I see the interactions you have with Hub often on social media, and I see the kind of influence you are. So I'm glad we're on the line together, my man.
Most definitely, man. I'm glad to be here too, man, because it's an amazing thing, you know, when you can have a group of like-minded individuals, you know, who want more and want to be able to help and support one another, you know, who can get together and do just that. So, man, I'm glad to be a part of it, and I'm glad to meet you too, bro.
Yo, this is what it's about, man. The Positivity Spartans coming together. You know what I mean? What's good, Nick? You want to hit them off with that quote? Because you know we like to start it off with that positivity.
Yeah, I got you, man. And I think it's going to fit with the whole episode too. So I'm excited about this. And I got quotes in the tank. So this one, I'm not sure where it originated. I'm not sure if, you know, if it just settled in the subconscious again and now I just speak it. But ultimately, man, everyone's ideas are just the universe's ideas, and we're all sharing those too. So the quote is, the world will see you the way you see yourself.
Yo, that is exactly, yo, that is so on point, man, because you don't realize the, you know what I mean, that perception that you give off. You know I mean, when you're down and out, I mean, that energy, it just radiates. And you know what I mean,
yeah.
if you don't see yourself as, you know what I mean, the superior being that you are, man, like ain't nobody else.
Yeah, that's nice. I like the way it is, because it's an amazing thing, man, because a lot of the time, man, a lot of us aren't aware of the energy that we give off. You know, so it definitely draws forth the reason for us to be a lot more, you know, self-aware and aware of the fact, you know, that the energy that we give off, you know, to some extent, you know, it influences people and it allows them to get a little bit of insight on who we are. So I think that's pretty nice.
Yeah, man. And I hold it dear, Ben. That's part of the reason I'm basically obsessed with the self-image. Mm-hmm. You know, so like the world's a mirror and you're just looking at it. So, yeah, fellas, that's the one for today.
I dig that. I definitely dig that, man. And, you know, it's crazy. I mean, that quote definitely fits with today's episode, man, because, you know, I've gotten, you know, I ask for topics, ask what people want to hear, because, like I always say, this is the podcast by the community for the community. So I began hit up a lot. You know what I mean? People want me to speak on mental illness. And, you know what I mean? Today's the day. You know what I mean? I'm going to touch on it. Today's the day for the simple fact that two very powerful individuals, you know what I mean, spoke out today on how they deal with depression and everything. Kevin Love being one, power forward for the Cleveland Cavaliers, for those who aren't basketball fans. And DeMar DeRozan, I mean, shooting guard for the Toronto Raptors. They both came out and, you know, I mean, pretty much confessed that, you know, they deal with mental illness. And I think now is the perfect time to speak on it, because I really feel like, and I know a lot of people feel like, that mental illness is looked at as weakness and it's not spoken about enough. Well, I'm here to tell y'all that that's not true. That's not true at all. You know what I mean? We all suffer from some sort of, you know what I mean, mental illness. I mean, at some point in life, we're all going to feel depressed. You know what I mean? Me personally, I deal with PTSD, chronic depression, and I have insomnia. So, like, I mean, it's a triple-headed monster right there, because, you know what I mean, each one coincides with the other. And I have days where it's hard, it's really difficult. But, I mean, I really want to tell y'all that you're not alone. you are not alone. I can't stress that enough, because like we said, it's not spoken enough in the Black community, man. It's really not.
It's not. I definitely agree with that, because I think it's so many more things out there, you know, that we don't talk about that connects us, you know, and a lot of people deal with it, you know, but don't have the voice to really say something about it, mm-hmm. or don't have the nerve to say something about it. But it's rather common, unfortunately. But I think one of the bigger things, you know, to get from that is the fact that even though we all deal with that, we don't have to allow it to consume us. Mm-hmm. And by knowing that there's other people out there, you know, that deal with the same thing that you do, it allows us to know, you know, like that there's, in my turn, I'll say that there's strength and the knowledge of knowing and being aware. And with that knowledge, it allows us to be able to do something about it. But the first steps, you know, to getting better with anything is admitting, you know, that you have a problem and being able to deal with it. Because sometimes we got to look that demon in the face, you know, and be willing to take those extra steps, you know, to overcome those things. But like I said, always you have to remember that you're not alone in this. There's so many people that deal with that stuff. And they deal with it. Like, I mean, I'm one in the same. I deal with depression. I dealt with, you know, severe anxiety and so many other things too. And there's so many of us out there, you know, like that, connect on that same level. But hopefully through this, you know, we'll be able to come together and help each other out, because that's what it's all about. Support and love for the community. We gotta build each other up.
That's most definitely, man. That's most definitely. And that's why we're here. I mean, we here because this is the community. I want y'all to feel safe here. I mean, if at any time you feel yourself in that dark place, I mean, you can reach out to me personally. I mean, you can my Twitter at Zay Hub. I mean, you can catch me on Facebook, Isaiah Hubbard, Instagram, Legendary_Hub. I mean, Nick, I mean, you put out your handles if you want to, man, because my door's
open. Yeah. Absolutely. And of course, my door is open as well, especially with me really diving into my coaching business right now. I do want to say that with coaching, there's a difference between that and therapist. You know, we as a coach, our goal is to take you from ground floor and build up, you know, and when you're struggling with a mental illness, you might not be at the ground floor, you know. Now, with that being said, I do want to say that if you do struggle with depression, you know, chronic depression, severe anxiety, panic attacks, whatever it may be, and you feel like you're at rock bottom, that's okay. And it's okay to be comfortable there, because there's nothing below that, you know, and there's only coming up from that. So as far as handles, you know, it's at @naptime2e_ZZZ. And that's for both Twitter and IG. I just made a new Twitter, a little bit of a side note there. So feel free, head over there. Some follows will be nice and all that good stuff. But on a more serious note, though, my door really, truly is open.
I second, triple, quadruple that, please, anytime. Because, you know what I mean, I'd rather you call me in the middle of the night or text me or you know what I mean, DM me in the middle of the night than you know what I mean, read that you may have took your own life the next morning. You know what I mean? And I mean that wholeheartedly. Do you have the quote from Kevin Love?
Yeah, actually I do. Kevin Love said, mental health isn't just an athlete thing. No matter what our circumstances, we're all carrying around things that hurt, and they can hurt us if we keep them buried inside. Not talking about our inner lives robs us of really getting to know ourselves and robs us of the chance to reach out to the others in need. So if you're reading this and you're having a hard time, no matter how big or small it seems to you, I want to remind you that you're not weird or different for sharing what you're going through.
No, and that's real.
Yes.
That's too real. Like you're not, you know what I mean? Like we're here to tell you, you know what I mean? Like I go through it personally, you know what I mean? Trauma, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I'm there with y'all too, you know. I always like to say that a lot of people have it worse than me, you know, and I've been fortunate to grow up pretty good. Have I struggled with depression? Yeah, sure, I have. But I know people who truly do have it worse than me, who have been through worse things than me. And sometimes that's tough because I feel like I don't have like fuel coming from that, you know, because it's possible to turn those things into fuel. So the way I reframe that personally for those that do feel like they're, you know, they grew up with love and they really don't struggle with anything, and you know, they might be you know, really not believe in these kind of things, or anything along those lines. You know, my reframing was that if someone has it worse than me, then there's no reason why I can't go out there and get it just like they are.
You know, that's facts. You know what I mean? That's fact. And because we all suffer. But I mean, this is, I want to give you a little tidbit on I mean, kind of how my mental illness came about. So April 2nd, 2014, I was involved in, they call it office, what do they call it, office violence.
Look, everybody got their own top, their own, you know, term for it, man. But, you know, basically it was an active shooter situation.
Yes, that's exactly what, and we were there, we were, so same situation, but different perspectives, because me and Tron, we were in the same AO, and we have different views, we have different perspectives on how it went, but we're both feeling some of the same things. So what happened, April 2nd, you know what I mean, at the end of the day, sitting in a meeting, man, with a bunch of about 13 or 14 other, you know what I mean, soldiers and officers, just having a meeting. And you know, a fellow soldier, I mean, came in there, you know what I mean, and what's crazy is I seen him walk in the building, I made eye contact with him, I gave him a head nod, he gave me a head nod right back. He walked into the other room, sat down for about 5 minutes, next thing you know, he was shooting at my brother, man, and my brother Westbrook, and it was so surreal, because When the first about two or three shots went off, that's not what anybody thought it was. We didn't think somebody was in there shooting. It was more of like, oh, we thought maybe, you know, somebody in the S1 maybe had dropped a folder or something. And I mean, it's a very long story, but long story short, after that, he tried to come into the room where we were. My hero, Sergeant First Class Daniel Ferguson, held the door closed to the conference room. I mean, as I was trying to help two of our female soldiers, one of our female captains and another civilian try to get under the table. After that, you know, I mean, I stood up to go help Sergeant Ferguson with the door, and he shot through the door. He hit Sergeant Ferguson right in front of me. You know what I mean, he fell and he lost his life on spot. I mean, I was, bullet whizzed right by my ear. You know what I mean? I had got down, and you know what I mean? The only thing I could think of was shit. You know what I mean, he's not getting in this door. He's not coming in here. He's not taking all these lives today. So what I did is I flipped the conference room table and I put it against the door. Now, like, when I tell you we are powerful beyond measure, this table literally takes about, you know what I mean, 4 or 5 people to move. I did that shit single-handedly because, you know what I mean, there was too many people in there that I would have felt responsible for if something would have happened. Like, so I placed the table on the door, you know what I mean, held it shut, put my back to it, and just hoped, you know what I mean, just hoped he wasn't getting in.
It's a crazy situation, man.
And on the flip side, man, my brother Tron was right outside about to come in, man.
Yeah, and just to give a different perspective of the same story, part that he didn't tell you was I was actually on my way to the company, and me and Isaiah, you know, my bro, we were actually on the phone together.
Yeah, that is still.
We was on the phone together.
Yeah, I told you about that.
Food.
totally forgot about that.
Yeah, man, we was actually on the way to go and get some food, but like let's back up just a little bit before that. That's how twisted the story really gets. So momentarily before all of those guys was in the conference room, we were actually my S4 team and supply guys, we were actually in the midst of having a meeting in that very same conference room. But an issue ended up occurring and we ended up having to cut the meeting before we even started it because one of the NCOs or one of our leaders had to go and take care of something, at the company. And truth be told, I was supposed to be sitting in there. It wasn't even supposed to be, Sean Ferguson and Hubbard and all of those guys. Like, it was supposed to be us in there. And they ended up kicking us out of that room, because they had to take over that room and because my leadership had, to handle something else. They ended up, cutting our meeting short, but we were supposed to be the ones sitting in there that day. And to catch back up to where I was beginning, so me and him was on the phone, and I'm driving up there, and we just, just chopping it up, talking about, going to go get something to eat or whatever. And it's this brief silence. I hear a pop in the back sound. I'm pretty sure it's the same sound he's, he heard,
mm-hmm.
Not even thinking that what it was. And next thing I know, I hear him screaming, Tron, this is shooting battalion, call 911. And, I can't even express the feeling that went, I almost thought it was a joke. And so I pull into the parking lot and I hear just gunfire going off. And it was a surreal because right in that same moment, I don't know how he did it, but our brother Westbrook text us in a group chat that we all got saying, he had been shot. Yo, I didn't even park the car. I hopped out the car, bounced off the curb, literally. It bounced off the curb because I didn't put the car in park. Like, all I knew was I had to get to my brother. I ran up to the back of the building where his office is. And as soon as I got to the door, and this is one of my, I'm gonna be all the way real, I froze up at the back of the door because in the midst of me going in there, like understanding the layout of the room, it's basically an open space. And in the midst of that moment, I thought, shoot, if I run in here, I'm an open target. Like, there's nothing on the other side of this door that I can hide behind anything. It's like I'll be running into open space and I'll be another man down. And right as I was I guess a part of me really didn't even care. So I twisted the handle and I ended up hearing screams from the other side of the building. And they just screaming help or whatever. And I let go of the door and I ran to the other side of the building. And a couple of our guys that was in our S3 area of our company was hiding under the tables and stuff like that. So I ran in and I got them all out and I told them hey, get away from the building, just get away. And then I ended up getting another message, saying that our boy Westbrook was bleeding and stuff like that. And he had been shot a couple times and it was a surreal moment. And it was just one of those things, that you never really expect stuff like that to happen to you. And being in a situation, where you got one of your brothers, that's trapped in a room, another one who's been shot and he's down and he's needing you and calling for, you got family. It's so much to think about. And letting the dust clear from that situation, we had a moment where we all kind of, just broke down and blamed ourselves for so many different things,
So many.
In all actuality, we kind of eventually had to come to that point, that everything worked out the way that it was supposed to. And there's really nothing that we could have done differently. And that's something hard to live with. It's something, because, everybody has something to blame themselves for, We all blamed ourselves for something, not doing something. I wish we would have done, did something different. But
And I can attest to that, man, because for the longest time, all I could think about was, yo, why didn't I get to that door, you know what I mean, to help him? You know what I mean? Maybe he would have been in a different position, and, you know what I mean, maybe Sean Ferguson would have lost his life. You know what I mean? Survivor's remorse really hit me, man, because I dealt with the what ifs, like a huge what if, because it was just so difficult. Like, yo, what if I'd have just got up faster? What if I'd have just thought to, you know what I mean, throw the table in there in the first place? You know what I mean? But I spoke to, so I went to behavioral health. I'm going to be 100% real. I went to behavioral health. You know what I mean? I was speaking to a counselor, and she said, you know what? You can't play the what if game, because if you do, you got to play both sides. Okay, what if you weren't fast enough and then you would have lost your life? And literally, I froze. I was like, damn. Another gem that she dropped on me, which you know, I definitely appreciate her for. She said, "You show me a hero, and I'll write you a tragedy." Yeah, think about that.
Yeah.
You show me a hero, and I'll write you a tragedy. And I was recognized by the Army. I got a soldier's medal, which is the highest award you can receive during peacetime for heroism. This is the first time I'm ever putting that out to the masses, because I don't really claim that title, because I did what I felt like any person in my shoes could have done, because there is greatness within all of you. There is greatness within all of us. And I mean, we're here to tell you, like, no matter what you go through, no matter what you're feeling, you can overcome it, because all three of us have been in a dark place. You know what I mean?
Oh, definitely. Oh, definitely.
I just want to thank y'all for sharing that story. You know, literally goosebumps on my end.
No doubt.
I definitely appreciate it, you know. And if y'all wouldn't mind, I would like to go a little bit off the script here and just ask y'all a question.
Go ahead, bro. Shoot.
You know, after sharing that, I'm not sure how often you guys, but that was a lot of detail. You know, I've seen what you've gone through, Hub, but I've never heard the story personally. So my question to both of y'all is, you know, how do you feel after sharing that story with people?
It's kind of tough, because at first I didn't want to talk about it at all. Like, I suppressed those emotions. Like, I never wanted to talk about it, because I didn't want to relive it. But like I said, when I started going to, so it took me a year. I just want to let y'all know it took me a year, because after that shooting, my commander at the time, Colonel Bell, you know what I mean, Fulberg Colonel now, shout out to you, Colonel Bell. You know what I mean, if you ever listen to this podcast, listen to this episode, you know what I mean, he had asked me. He said, "Hey, look, I understand, you know what I mean, what happened and everything." And we were getting ready to deploy. Like I said, he said, "Look, if you don't want to come on this deployment, I mean, you don't have to." He said, "You know what I mean, nobody's gonna look at you any type of way. Nobody's gonna, you know what I mean, nobody's gonna think less of you." I went on the deployment because I felt like I couldn't leave the people that I shared that experience with, that were going on that deployment. I couldn't leave them. But at the same time, I never wanted to talk about it. I suppressed all these emotions, and it put me in a dark place. It put me in a very dark place, because we'll talk about later about like realizing your potential and everything. And you have to realize your weaknesses in order to realize your full potential. But the first few times I shared the story, this is the first time I'm ever telling this story out to. I mean, like, people I don't even know are going to hear this, and I want them to hear this, because I want them to know that you can experience, you can damn near die, and you can bounce back, and you can still radiate positivity, and you can still make the world a better place. Not to veer off your question, but it's really hard for me to express.
Nah, you're good.
After telling this, because now I kind of feel a relief, because I know that telling that story is going to help somebody. But back then, yo, telling that story, man, it put me in a hole for a couple of days. And Sean, I don't know if you feel the same way, but You know what I mean, anytime I'd have to tell a story, or the story was brought up, or I seen it on the news, it put me in a dark place for a few days. Not just the moment, for a few days where I would isolate myself.
I can definitely relate to that, man. And yo, Nick, and in reference to your question, man, like my experience was very similar, but a little bit different too. So after everything, you know, transpired, the only people I would talk, you know, I would talk about the situation with was, you know, my brothers, you know, like the people that I experienced it with.
That's a fact.
Because
that is a fact.
I feel like they were the only ones, you know, who would really genuinely feel and understand, you know, where I'm coming from, you know, and it was, like I say, it was a very, very surreal, you know, feeling. And of course I would talk to my wife about it, because I mean, you know, that's my rock, like, I don't keep nothing from them. And outside of that, man, like, every time that I went to behavioral health or I had to tell the story, like, I get angry. I get completely angry. Like, and I didn't like telling the story. Like, I didn't like having to reiterate it and tell the story. And it's crazy because, like, for those of you that don't know, you know, we just came from the gym a second ago. We was actually talking about this, like,
yeah,
like moments ago.
Yeah.
And I hate it, man. I won't even lie to you. Like, I still hate telling the story, you know, like over and over and over and over again, because every time it's like it kind of puts you right back, you know, into that same space. But luckily, you know, like, since everything that's happened, I've been able to share that story, you know, like with a lot of people, and it's been able to help many. And it's difficult because after experiencing something like that, you know, you kind of just want to like bury it and lock it away. And I know a lot of people, you know, feel that and have a difficult time dealing with that, because a lot of times, you know, we'll go through things and we'll want to, like, you know, either confide in ourselves, you know, or like just like lock ourselves away, like Isaiah just said here. And sometimes that can take us into a really, really dark place. And like I said, the details of that story, you know, like it.
There's so much more.
Yeah. So much to that story, you know, so, like, much. So much, you know, shoulda, coulda, wouldas and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know? And every time, like, I go back through it, I kind of experience, you know, like this moment of wanting to like blame myself again, you know, like I wish I would, or what if I had done, and it's hard. Like I really can't stress, you know, enough, you know, like how difficult it is, you know, to not blame, you know, myself for wishing I'd have done something different. But luckily, you know, since I've gone through, you know, like my different counseling sessions and things of that nature, I've come to realize, you know, that there is nothing that I could have done different. And that there's a reason it transpired, you know, the way that it did. And I'm getting to a point, you know, I'm still in the progress. I can't say that I'm all the way there, but I'm getting a lot closer to a point of really realizing, you know, that everything, you know, did happen, you know, for a reason. And it happened the way it did because that's exactly how it was meant to. And I'm not gonna lie, man, like for a while that's been a hard pill to swallow, especially with so many things, you know, of very similar nature that's been going on in the world. And every time it happens, it's like a flashback.
A whole flashback.
Yeah.
It's like a flashback. Like what you come to realize, man, is like you're not exempt from anything. And truth be told, that can be a very hard pill to swallow. Like, and that's a hard space to escape, man. But I think one of the things that we have to take away from that, you know, is the fact that we are, you know, in control of ourselves and how we feel, you know, in the directions that we're going. And we kind of have to just be able to live, you know, at peace with wherever we are and whatever's going on in our lives. And some situations we can't control, but from it, we have to find strength.
I just want to put one more thing out before, because we could talk about this all day, for real, for real.
Yeah.
It is okay to cry. You know what I mean? I view myself because I think highly of myself, because if I don't think highly of myself, nobody will. I think very highly of myself as a very strong and positive, influential role model to a lot of people who, you know what I mean, who look up to me. I cried. I cried a lot. I shed a lot of tears. You know what I mean? I cried as you know what I mean? I embraced, you know what I mean? Sean Ferguson's fiance, Haley, you know what I mean? I love you so much, Haley. You know what I mean? Shout out to you. I cried as I embraced her, you know what I mean? Like, I cried when I thought about it. You know what I mean? And I get choked up when I talk about it. It's okay to cry. It is all right. You know I mean? And it took me a long time to realize that. With that being said, you know what I mean? I want to transition into to building your strengths and strengthening your weaknesses. Nick, why don't you go ahead and lead it off with that, bro?
Yeah, so I'll pose another question to y'all then. You know, there's this battle between both those sides. You know, some people say that you should build on your strengths, and others say that you should work on your weaknesses so you're well-rounded. You know, what's your take on those approaches?
It's like a flip side of coin for me, because I really feel like, so in my prior job in the military, I was in 25 uniform. For those who don't know what that is, it's pretty much a signal support system specialist. You know what I mean, I dealt with everything, radios, tactical, I mean, satellites, computers, everything. I was pretty much a jack of all trades, a master of none. That being said, in my personal life, I feel like you do have to strengthen, in my opinion, you have to strengthen your weaknesses in order to strengthen your strengths. You know what I mean? Because if you work out your legs every day and somebody hits you, you know what I mean? If somebody comes to break your arm's going to break. You know what I mean? Because you're not working on your upper body. So I definitely feel like you need to be well-rounded, but you also need to realize what your gift is and really make your weaknesses strengthen your gift.
I love that.
That's nice.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's how I feel on the situation.
Tron, what's your take, Tron?
Pretty similar to that. Like, I do feel as though, you know, let me take a step back. For me personally, I've kind of undergone an intense mind frame shift over the past couple of years, right? And in that shift, I really had to take a moment to re-identify myself. Because a lot of us spend so much time, you know, trying to, you know, be great in so many different areas, you know, and be strong here and strengthen this, that, and third. But what we have to realize, you know, is that we are weak in areas. And I think a lot of us actually try to run from our weaknesses and try to turn our face away from them. We focus so strong on our strengths, you know, that we can sometimes completely throw those to the wayside. And what the amazing thing to me is, and this is something that I experienced, and it may be the same for some people, maybe not, but my weaknesses in my moment of growth, I realized were small things that had large impacts. And those things are things like, you know, consistency. Those things are things, you know, like being able to admit you're wrong in certain situations, or realizing that you're not as good at certain things you thought you were. But the moment I was really able to realize that my weaknesses, you know, existed, you know, first off, and that there, I was able to take my strengths and focus them on my weaknesses to where I could start to build those up. But what we have to realize, you know, is that and this incomplete picture, you know, that we have, you know, like in dealing with our strengths and our weaknesses, you know, they have to support each other. You have to use one to support the other. And sometimes, you know, our weaknesses, like if we spend enough time, you know, focusing on those to help build those up, it can make our strengths a lot better. We have to take our strengths to help you know, build up our weaknesses, you know, into being our strength. And I had to completely restructure myself to realize, you know, that my weaknesses were important. So I feel like you really have to be able to realize your strengths and use those to help build up, you know, your weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And I think that was probably one of the biggest impacts for me.
Hmm. You know, we're by the wayside, Nick. I mean,
Yeah, y'all killed it though. That was some shit. Those were definitely some gems. I'm definitely floating on the same boat as y'all. I think the answer lies somewhere in the middle. You know, and I'll pose a rhetorical question, you know. If nothing was strong, would we know what weak is? And if nothing was weak, would we know what strong is? Mm. So just like y'all said, you really do need both of them, and they both feed each other, you know. And if you do it right, your weaknesses really aren't weaknesses. That's your fire, you know.
And you know what, like to back that up, man, you know, our strengths were once weaknesses. You know,
yeah.
That's a huge thing, you know. Like we all, you know, I think, you know, we all like to work out, you know, get our grind on and stuff like that in that gym. But in that process of going to the gym, you know, like in the beginning, you struggle. You struggle. Like every day is a struggle. Every breath, you know, is a struggle. And it's crazy, you know, like how amazing of an analogy, you know, like working out is. You literally have to go through pain in order to grow.
Exactly.
So you have to focus on your weaknesses in order to grow from them. You have to be willing and able to endure that pain in order to see your success and to grow from that. And that's, you know, like why I mentioned before, you know, like as to why we can't run from, you know, our weaknesses or our failures or whatever the case may be, you know, whatever the case may be in that area, because it's critical. It's critical that we pay attention to it, because from our weaknesses, you know, grows our strength.
And that's real. That's very real. And go ahead, bro.
Just real quick for the listeners, then, you know, you might be thinking strength, weaknesses, what the hell are these guys talking about, where you get them? Personally, I've taken a VIA assessment. You can just Google, like, VIA. It's a free online assessment. Of course, they trying to upsell you on things. I personally bought the upsells. Because I'm working on me, and that's just an investment in myself. I can't front. I took this from one of my mentors, Noel. Thank you. It truly has made an impact in my life, and I just wanted to share it with everybody else as well.
I dig that. And I'm glad you brought that up, that VIAA, man, because we talk about strength and weaknesses. I mean, it all builds up. I mean, the strength and weaknesses make up your potential. So how do we realize our potential? You know what I mean? Like, how do we know what we are capable of? And for me, I feel like the only way we'll find out what our ultimate potential is, the only way we're going to reach ultra instinct is by going out there. You know what I mean? Is going out there and struggling through the weaknesses, you mean, to build them up, to be, you know what I mean, as strong as your strengths were while you build up your strengths. And I don't just mean that, you know what I mean, in a physical sense. I mean that in a mental sense, wholeheartedly. Because, you know what I mean, like when I was talking to my behavioral health specialist, you know what I mean, and yo, she dropped a lot of gems on me, yo. She put me hip to game. So there's a specific part of your brain that controls all the emotions. So one part of your brain controls all of the emotions. So in order to feel joy, you have to feel sadness. You know what I mean? So in order to feel happy, you have to feel sad. You know what I mean? Pain, you know what I mean, pleasure, all that. You can't experience all of your emotions. If you're suppressing fear, if you're suppressing hate, if you're suppressing sadness, if you're suppressing depression, if you can't be real with yourself and open up yourself to realize what you need to work on, what you need to strengthen, you'll never realize your potential. And I don't say that to mean put you down. I say that to let you know that we are here to help you realize your potential. And that's just how I think we figure out our potential. And I mean, we just have to be, in a sense, we have to be vulnerable, because if we don't get hit, we're not going to know what the pain feels like. So I want to give y'all a little tidbit. So, you know what I mean? I am a lover wholeheartedly, but I know how to fight. And not just from Army combatants, even though I did go through Army combatants. Matter of fact, me and you went through combatants together, man, in Afghanistan,
right? Taking them haymakers.
Man, what? Yo, look,
you couldn't fight back some days.
Yo, so anybody that's been through level one combatants will tell you clinch drills suck. So let me tell you about clinch drills, Nick. So it's like the most feared day in all of combatants. So they get the biggest fucking soldiers they can find.
To
come whoop your ass.
but you can't
hit. The point of it is, you know what I mean? You have to clinch your opponent. You have to get them in one of three clinches.
Isolate.
Yeah, you have to isolate, you know what I mean? You have to be able to take your opponent down while getting hit, because, you know what I mean, your opponent may be bigger than you. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you never know. So you gotta go through those hits in order to, you know what I mean, in order to get to the clinch. Now I went first. So I was like, you know what? Let's get it. Yo, this dude, bro, I'm talking about. He was probably about Dope size. You remember Arthur Dokes from high school?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Boy, Arthur Dokes, man. Hope you're doing well, brother. He was about his size, man. And I was like, fuck. Anybody who doesn't like that, but that is literally what I thought. Yo, my man hit me so damn hard the first two times. I was like, shit. After that, I just kept pushing in. I was dipping and dodging, and I got the clinch. I was dazed, you know what I mean? But I walked up, I was like, I wasn't that bad.
Bruh, I wasn't that bad. Wait, the other side of this story
don't be exposed, man.
The other side of this story. When he walked away after he finally got the clinch, the whole vibe of the room changed.
Nah, not at all.
Like, you ever been in a fight when they was like, hey, you're gonna be in this fight, but don't fight back.
Yeah.
Like, the whole vibe of the room, like, was completely 360 after he walked back, face super red, talk about it ain't that bad. I'm like, bro, you must not have saw what happened to you.
Hey, man,
it must not have been the same fight that I was watching. It was real. It looked bad.
Oh, man. But, yeah, like, man, you got to go through that. You know what I mean? Because after that, you realize, yo, moving forward.
On some rocky edge.
Man, for real. That's what it was like.
Yeah.
But that's how I feel. That's how I feel we realize our potential, man.
And I'm back door that, man, because you said some real stuff, man. And taking a step back into what you said, man, like being able to see that man in the mirror, like I said before, you know, like it's a huge step, because I think a lot of people don't realize, you know, in order to see a potential, you have to see where you at, right? Like first, like take a moment, okay, like this is where I am. Mm-hmm. And then you have to realize why you are in this position that you're in. In order to do that, you have to take a step back and really analyze yourself to say, like, okay, I put myself here. All of this is my fault. And I think so many people run away from saying, this is my fault.
Yo, I got to work on sound.
Man, like, because I went through this, man. I really went through this like 2.5 years ago. I had to be comfortable with myself to say, yeah, I am where I'm today, and it's all my fault. But you know what? The moment I was able to do that, the next step is what was so critical.
Yes, sir.
I had to paint that picture, create that vision of who I knew I wanted to be. I had to create that, and that didn't come to me easy. In order to get to that, what I had to start educating myself and really venturing out to learn, you know, what I was capable of as a person. And I'm gonna shout out some books, man. The Science of Getting Rich,
yes, sir,
is like a Bible to me.
Yes, sir.
Anybody that's read Think and Grow Rich, great book. But if you want like the meat and potatoes of that same book, The Science of Getting Rich is the...
You don't want the meat and potatoes, you want the water, because you're going to survive longer on that water.
Hey, that's it, bro. It hot system, boss. But yeah, The Science of Getting Rich is an amazing book. And then to backdoor that one also, The Power of the Subconscious Mind. Mm. And I started reading those books, man, and I started to realize, like, the first day I joined you on the podcast, man, I think I ended it with saying, we're limitless.
Yes.
And then what I started to pay attention to was, like, I started, you know, to check out a lot of successful people. They was all saying the same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, anybody, you know, like, that's ever studied, you know, successful people, to some extent, their mindsets are all the same. And I had to realize, you know, I'm like, man, you know what? These people did it. I can do whatever I put my mind to. And I got to a point where I said, I'm limitless. And I created that perfect vision of myself. And sometimes you got to write it down. You got to know exactly who you are, what you're capable of, and you got to commit to that thought.
Mm-hmm.
Because from that thought, that's the seed. That's the seed that you're going to plant. And you like, how I said it before, you know, you got to water with action. Got to water it with action. And then eventually, it'll sprout itself into a tree. And that tree is the perfect vision of your success, man, you stupid. But yeah, man, like, you got to be real with yourself first. You got to be real with yourself, because you'll never see a potential until you get to a point to where you can truly take a step back and see yourself for what you really are, and be able to be, you know, like, not necessarily okay with it, but realize, hey, I am where I am because of me. But this does not have to be the end result. I can be better.
Definitely.
I can go further.
Yeah.
I am limitless.
Limitless.
And that's what it took for me.
Yo, Nick, I want you, like,
hey,
you being a life coach, bro, I really do want to hear, like, your opinion on this, real, for real, like, in your words, how do you realize potential? Like, how do we realize our potential? And after that, I want you to follow up with, like, what you feel, like, how you feel once you realize.
All right. Trone, I just want to say, man, I think what was power, we're all going to say something very similar, just because I feel like the answer is somewhere in the middle of this answer, you know, of mm-hmm. our answers combined. What was so powerful about that, Trone, was it's the power of accountability. You know, that's what I call what you were talking about. It's the power of accountability. And when you're accountable, what happens is you ditch the victim mindset. You are no longer a victim. You're accountable. And when you are accountable, you are powerful. You take power back. Nothing happens because of anyone but you, like you said. And when you do that, that means that you could change whatever you want.
That's real, bro. That is real.
Tell so me. I found that very powerful in yours, man. As far as a couple books I think you might like too, homie, you know, you mentioned how we view ourselves and a couple of my Bibles. I have like 10 Bibles, probably more than that, but Psycho Cybernetics and then The Magic of The Power of Self-Image Psychology. Both written by Maxwell Maltz, something along those lines. You would like both of them. So I do recommend those to you. As far as how do we realize our potential? I think reaching and realizing are different. So we're saying, how do we realize it? And the way we realize our potential, and I touched on this the first time I was on the show, Hub. You know, it's by following your intuition. When you follow your intuition, you're following the breadcrumbs. When you're following the breadcrumbs, you're going to be led to your truth. In your truth, there's being honest with yourself. That's where accountability lies. That's where all the positive emotions lie, you know. And when you're there, you just start vibrating at a higher frequency, man. You're able to understand more. You're able to learn more. You're able to absorb more. You're operating at an optimal level when you're there. You're doing everything that you did, but you're doing it better simply because of the energy that you're carrying, you know? And when you realize this, it just clicks. There's not a time, there's not a day, there's not, you know, it could be something that comes across you, sure, but it's just this moment, you're like, oh shit, it all makes sense, you know? And then because you understand it, you decide to start pushing the envelope, and you're gonna see how much you really have in the tank, and you realize that your potential really is endless, man.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. And I got one more thing that I do want to add to that, man, because for the listeners out there, I think what I'm about to tell you is a cheat code, that'll kind of help you a lot. But at the same time, it could lead to your destruction if you don't do it. And what that is the importance of your circle, your network, and people have no clue how important your circle and your network are when you're trying to get to that higher level, when you're trying to, realize that potential. Because the truth of the matter is, like if you're around negative people, one of two things is gonna happen. Either you're gonna become like them or they're gonna become like you. And if you're outnumbered, a lot of the times, not all the times, it's the latter. You'll become like them. So get to a point, like to where you realize, that you're limitless and you can do whatever your mind to. And if you start to want more, you really need to evaluate your circle. You have to evaluate your circle. Get to people who want more just as much as you do and more.
Input
Because
equals output, right?
Most definitely, man, because I'm gonna share some real with you, man. So, in the midst of me kind of coming to that conclusion, of wanting more and being more, I didn't necessarily have to like cut a lot of people off, but I did have to limit my communication. Because when you start to want more for yourself, and you see a lot of people that don't seem to want more for themselves, it can be really, really hard, man, because you want to fall back into a lot of those old habits. You want to do a lot of that stuff that you used to do. And you can see people out there, like kind of just living carefree, man. But a lot of those people don't have vision. They don't have, goals. They're not as hungry as you, like they're not looking as high as you. And in those moments, man, sometimes we just have to take a step back and we have to surround ourselves with people who have the same image, the same vision, who want more. Because like you said before, Nick, accountability is important. And you can't expect people who are vibrating on a lower level, to hold you accountable for everything that you want to achieve on a higher level. And man, I think it's so important, that we pay attention to the people that we're around. It's I'm telling you, surround yourself with people who are gonna make you take it to the next level to realize your potential. Because if they're doing the same thing, they won't let you get caught slipping, and you won't let them get caught slipping. But evaluate your circle. It's critical.
Say that again, bro.
Evaluate your circle.
Yes.
It is critical. I mean, in real talk, like you need to have these conversations with your friends. Like, hey, what do you want? Like, where are we going together?
Yes.
What are your goals? Friends need to know your goals.
Yes.
Like, it is important that your friends know your goals. Because if they don't, they just gonna let you move any kind of way. But if they know what your goals and they uplift you, what they're gonna do, they're gonna make sure you see those goals through.
Right. They can't support your goals. They can't support you if you're not telling them what your goals and what you want to be supported in is.
A vision that they can't see. They can't do it. You got to make it clear. You got to make it plain for them. And they need to do the same thing for you as you do it for them. Because, man, like a whole bunch of people that's moving without a direction, that's moving and they don't have clear vision. But, bro, both of y'all, everybody's going to end up lost.
Everybody.
Everybody's going to end up lost. And then at one point in time, later on down the road, eventually you'll find yourself. And now you got to make your way out of the woods. Not saying that it's impossible, but it's a hell of a lot harder. Evaluate your circle. If you want more, surround yourself with people that want more too. Critical.
Yo, and we could go all day on this, man. We could definitely go all day on this because that is so, like you said, that is critical and crucial. Nick, you got any other input? Because man, I'm about to go into a serious rant, man. Because you know I like to end it off. You know I like to end it off. So you know what I mean, if y'all want to get your final thoughts off, go ahead, man.
Yeah, man. I just want to throw in a little rhetorical what if statement that is sort of half true already, and maybe I could just shine light on something that I'm pretty unsure about. And I can't front, the idea was definitely influenced by the lady.
Before you give the what if, let me just let the viewers know. So Nick's gonna ask, he's gonna get into this what if, and so if you download the Anchor app, and you know what I mean, you follow me on the Anchor app, you can leave me a message. We encourage y'all to answer the what if, just so we can hear your input, and you know what I mean, we'll take a select few and we'll put them on the episode. So you know what I mean, let us know what you think. Download the Anchor app. You know what I mean, you can get it in the iTunes Store, you can get it Google Play. You know what I mean, just go ahead, download it, leave a message. You know what I mean, respond to the what if, and let us know what you think, and we'll definitely put it on the podcast. So you know what I mean, your opinion can be heard.
Yeah, absolutely, because this is a podcast for the community, by the community, as we always say. So, and if you really don't want to download the Anchor app, although we do encourage that so you could listen to us, you know, at will, feel free to hit one of the handles, whether it be Twitter, whether it be IG. We'll definitely drop those at the end of the show again.
Most definitely.
So I'm going to spit this one here. What if medicine wasn't needed at all for any disease, including the mental illnesses that we've talked about today, but instead the disease that manifests is just your body speaking to you, telling you something is wrong, and through health and wellness techniques you could heal yourself, because the human body is a self-healing organism. The problem is that we are so out of touch with how to be a human that we struggle to communicate with ourselves.
That's deep, man. I want to answer that, but I'm going to save it. Yes, deep, man.
Please do. Yeah, we might have to, man, because that came to me a little bit before the show, and you know, I started putting the dry erase marker to the board, and a little bit more came out, and so there goes a what if statement.
I dig it.
That's crazy.
So like you said, you know what I mean? Hit us up. My Twitter is at Zay Hub. Facebook, Isaiah Hubbard. Instagram, Legendary_Hub. Sean, you know what I mean? I don't know if you want to put your...
Hey, man, I'm on John Trauma on Facebook. You can holler at me at John Driven to Succeed Trauma. That's basically the only thing I'm on right now, you know, like, but you can always hit me up. I look forward, you know, to being able to get a little bit of, you know... regular dialogue going back with you guys, you know, to be able to help share, you know, and spread the positivity,
exactly,
the motivation, and encouraging one another, man, because we have to be here for each other, because the stronger the community, the stronger the network, mm-hmm, you know, I think the stronger it'll make us all individually and together, because we realize, you know, we're all not fighting, you know, the common fight alone. We all can, you know, rest on each other and depend on each other, you know, to lift one another up.
Definitely.
Damn right. Definitely. And, you know, on Twitter and IG, I am both, again, at naptime, 2 E's, _3 Z's. So it's NAPTIMEE _ZZZ. And you can find me on Facebook. It's Nicholas Pastrana. It's NICHOLAS.
I like to end these with a little rant. I want to motivate y'all right now. You are powerful beyond measure. There is nothing that you cannot accomplish when you put your mind to. Once you realize your potential, once you realize you can be that person that you want to be, and you are going to be that person that you want to be, you become unstoppable. There's nothing that can stop you. There's nothing that can get in your way. There could be a train coming at you, and it's just gonna stop because your vision, your drive, it is that strong. It is that, you mean, you are powerful beyond measure. Like I can't say it enough. I believe in you. I believe in you. You listening to this right now, I'm talking to you. I believe in you. You are the greatest you that will ever be. Push yourself beyond the limits. Push yourself to that next level. Yo, if Goku would have been satisfied with KO Ken, he never would have hit Ultra Instinct. You know what I mean? So put in the work, go out and get it. And as always, positivity, prosperity. Peace.